Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in studio. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Danny. I was hoping to see you, but I understand the situation.
Well, consider yourself lucky.
I get to see
I wish
other
I could
people.
Be there with you, too. Someday, maybe we'll get back,
yes,
back to the
normal.
Who knows? Seems like forever. Thanks, Teresa. Teresa Rooney is going to help you out this hour. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, now is your chance. You'll have to do it, however, by text only. 651-989-9226 is how you send Teresa that text message. 651-989-9226. Well, I have to say one thing. This rain is how perfect. I mean, let's have a couple more days like this.
I love this rain. I heard the thunder, and I just about cheered. I was so excited.
Well, absolutely. And it's, we don't like severe weather, but boy, we'll take these storms, this rain for a few more days here and there. Let's do it. Really, I'm sure by later on today or tomorrow morning, it's really going to green up our lawns. Will those dry spots come back, Teresa?
It's possible. It depends on how stressed the root system is and if the root system's still viable. So actually, rains like this will really help you gauge how well your lawn can come back. And so that's a really good thing to think, okay, it's not coming back very well. I know I'm going to have to seed, or it's coming back. I just have to be gentle with it.
Okay. Here's a text that came in, Teresa. It says, my zucchini plant is huge and covering my basil. Can I cut off the, quote, branches hanging over it to give it some light?
Well, yeah, you certainly can. If those branches are flowering, you will be cutting off flowers, which could turn into fruit. But go ahead and gently move that zucchini or cut off those branches. You want that basil to get the sunshine.
Okay. Again, text only, 651-989-9226. Here's something I haven't heard before. You're going to help me with this. We have what I believe is prostrate spurge in my yard, and it's spreading.
Mm-hmm.
Grass is dying. What to do? What is that stuff?
That's the stuff that it actually just lays on the ground, and the leaves are little teeny tiny things, and they often have a little red dot in them. They're tiny leaves. They look like kind of thyme, so you might think it's thyme, but it's not. It's a prostrate spurge, and you can pull them up. Usually they come up very easily. They do set a lot of seeds. I believe they're an annual, so you do want to make sure that they don't go to seed. They like those really dry areas, and they cover it just like a mat. It just looks like a mat laying on the ground. You can also use chemicals on them if you have to. Just make sure that you read and understand and follow the label instructions, because it has been very hot. And again, if plants aren't actively growing, they're not going to take those chemicals in, those herbicides in. So do make sure you read the instructions and know how hot it is, how windy it is, when the rain's going to come, and react accordingly.
Okay, very good. There's a question here I was thinking about as I was going for a walk the other day. It says, good morning. Have people been complaining about not only leaves falling off trees, but large limbs as well? I see a lot of leaves falling. Is that stress-related?
That's a lot of stress-related. I've noticed a lot of leaves falling. Some yards have almost looked like it's almost autumn already for some of the trees. The trees have a lot of leaves, but they will drop some of them because they just can't carry the heavy load. And that dropping of limbs does happen when we get a lot of heat. And sometimes if we suddenly get a full surge of water, all of a sudden there's just so much moisture in that limb that it can't hold it. I actually had my elm drop a foot and a half diameter limb one year like that in my yard, just from heat stress and moisture stress. So it can happen, which is kind of scary if you think about how many trees we have and how often we walk under them. They could just be dropping their limbs at any time. So just be careful. But yes, it can happen in the hot weather.
Good morning. If you're just joining us, Smart Garden is the name of the show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden questions via text only, 651-989-9226. We always joke, Teresa, I know, lightly, about Creeping Charlie. I know I've had in my years with yard work had enough of that.
Yes.
But here's one. Is Creeping Charlie edible?
Yes. It doesn't taste that good, in my opinion, but yes, it is edible. And again, before you eat any plants, make sure you identify them. Make sure they haven't been sprayed with any chemicals or used in the area where dogs may be or something like that. But yes, some people do make a nice kind of minty tea out of it. So you can use Creeping Charlie. Yes, you can eat it.
Hmm.
You know, there's lots of things that are edible, but yeah, they might not taste so good.
Have you ever tried it?
I have not.
No.
No.
That's not the top of my
I haven't been
list.
That hungry when I've been weeding it.
No. I like tea, but not Creeping Charlie tea.
It would probably just taste very minty.
I suppose.
Because there is that fragrance when you pull it. You do get a nice mint fragrance. Yeah. And it will have some vitamins and minerals and things in it. But again, it probably isn't the most tasty thing in the world. But it is edible.
651-989-9226 for your text messages for Teresa. Here's one that says, my 60-year-old forsythia only had 5 flowers this spring, has not done very well since I cut it back a few years ago. How can I help it flower more? I only had 5 flowers this spring, has not done very well since I cut it back a few years ago. How can I help it flower more?
Well, it's already set the flowers for next year, so you want to make sure you're not pruning it anymore. They have spring blooming plants like your forsythias and your lilacs and rhododendrons and azaleas and mock oranges. They all set their flowers 2 to 3 weeks after they finish blooming in the early spring or late spring, early summer. So any pruning you do after that will take off the flowers for next year. You can lightly top dress it with compost at any time. Next year when it starts to come out, and if we get some cool weather, maybe give it a little bit of fertilizer. We're kind of almost past the point now where I'd like people to be fertilizing their plants because we're into August and now we want the plants, lots of that fertilizer can take 20, 30 days to get to the roots. And by that time, the plants should be thinking about becoming dormant and slowly moving into dormancy, not having to all of a sudden have a big feast of nutrition in the soil because in September, the nutrition in the soil for the plants does lessen a little bit, which helps signal the plants to start to go into dormancy. So you don't want to mess up the cycle too much there. But a little top dressing of compost, especially just as we're getting this rain now or whatever, will gently wash some nutrients into the soil. So pruning is really important. And then maybe next year you can give it a little fertilizer in the spring.
Here we are in August, August 7th to be exact. I know we're getting questions, as you know, Teresa, about fertilizing our lawns. Are we coming up to a time when this is a good time? And what about weed and feed? I know we always get questions about that.
Yep, the weed and feed, a lot of these chemicals, they just don't react so well. Our lawns are stressed. So I would say don't be fertilizing and don't be weed and feeding them. Don't be spraying herbicides on them. The lawn's under a lot of stress. You don't want to add another stressor to it. If you see some weeds, maybe they're just hand pull or spot treat them with a liquid spray rather than a weed and feed. But I would not be fertilizing your lawns right now. I'd probably wait until after Labor Day when it does get a little bit cooler, and then you can put your winterizer down.
Okay, very good. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Invite our listeners again to join in via text with their lawn and garden questions at 651-989-9226. We have moved to 68 degrees, still some rain, some fog, some mist reported here in the Twin Cities. Let's see, our high today going to be about 78 degrees, so we should muster another 10 degrees or so for a daytime high. But we're going to get more shower activity. You stay tuned to News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions here on our Smart Garden Show on CCO. Via text only, 651-989-9226. Why is it via text only? The phone lines are down. We didn't pay the bill, maybe. I'm not sure. was. But Teresa still...
Creepy Charlie got in there and did some damage.
Maybe so. Gets everywhere. Again, Teresa, we have tons of text messages, so we're going to help as many people as we can this morning.
But if we don't get to them, they should go to extension.umn.edu.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Again, extension.umn.edu if you did not get your question answered today. And what can they find there, Teresa?
Everything relating to gardens, insects, weeds, all kinds of cool stuff. How to do landscaping, products, seed saving, planting, anything.
Lawn care.
Lawn care. Yes, there's lots of wonderful things in there.
Yep. We'll mention that again before Teresa leaves us. Here's a text that says, I have a ginkgo tree that has yellow leaves on the top third of the tree, and those leaves are now falling. I've been watering regularly throughout the drought. I guess that's it. What about that?
You know, it is a stress. I wouldn't worry too much about it. The ginkgos are pretty hardy trees. They're one of the longest or oldest trees that we have. They've survived since prehistoric times. They've come down and the genus hasn't changed that much, so it's pretty gosh darn amazing. So don't worry too much about it. Do keep the watering. Make sure you're not overwatering, and it should just be fine. Don't do any pruning or anything like that, any major fertilizing, nothing like that. I'm not sure how old the tree is, but the younger trees may show a little more stress, or they may actually be a little better because you're watering and they have a smaller root system so they can grab that. The bigger trees have a bigger root system, and there's no way you can totally supplement that. But do what you can. Just make sure you don't overwater.
Here's a hosta question. The weather has dried the leaves despite watering them. Can I trim all the dead leaves from that hosta?
Yep, dead is dead. It's not coming back. Go ahead and trim them. It will make them look less icky to your eyes, and it'll also get some of that that material out of there that could encourage slugs and funguses and things like that. So go ahead and clean up the dead stuff. That can go right into your compost bin.
This listener wants to know, Teresa, what's the best type of grass seed for sunny and sandy lawns?
You know, I would probably put some the Kentucky Blue. You're going to have to do some extra watering. Fescue is really, really good. The short fescues are really good. They can handle the drier locations. They can handle some shade. They can, and they're good in the sun, too. And you may want to put a little perennial ryegrass in there. Go to your garden center, talk to them, read the labels. It will tell you exactly what you're looking for, and make sure that you follow the instructions. Go to our website, extension.umn.edu, whether you're overseeding or whether you're putting down a whole new lawn.
And our great garden centers that we have around here do have some great seeds, and they have them marked for specific locations.
And they have people that know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So especially if you go in your area, they're probably dealing with a lot of sandy, sunny conditions or sandy conditions, so they'll know that. Or maybe you're in an area with a lot of heavy clay, and so your garden centers know that, and the people are really well trained there. And if they aren't, then maybe a different garden center would be a choice.
Keep checking.
Yep.
You bet. This texter has a gladiola bulbs that they bought this spring but forgot to plant them. Can I save them for next spring? If so, how?
You know, I would try to plant them up. At least get them up and growing and give them as much light as you possibly can. If you can, you know, keep them out as long as you can so they don't freeze. Maybe put them in pots. Cover the pots if we're going to get some light frost. All you're trying to do this year is give that bulb some energy to get through into the next season. Then as soon as you do bring them in, let them go dormant and then plant them next season. But to try to keep them, we probably just don't have the right humidity, and that they have that nutrition's going to be wearing away. It's just going to kind of disappear, and they probably won't make it. So you'd be better off to try to get some green up and let them get growing.
This one is about insecticide. Is there an insecticide for grasshoppers that is pet safe?
Probably. Lots of the insecticides do have to be a contact poison. If you're killing grasshoppers and your pet is eating the dead grasshoppers, that's not going to be good because they will be ingesting that poison. And a poison is a poison. Insect anatomy is a little different than ours, but it is closer to our anatomy than, say, an herbicide. A plant's anatomy is closer to ours, is further away. So you read the instructions and just follow the instructions. And again, if the animal's eating the dead insects, probably I wouldn't even bother. Decide what's more important. No grasshoppers or a sicker or perhaps dying pet.
And Teresa, you put together a publication some time ago. Again, what was that called? About
Humane Critter Control.
Yeah.
It's just pretty much the idea is, you know what, if you grow it, they're going to come. You got to figure that out and try to figure out how you can live with what you've done.
How do we find that?
You can go on Amazon. I believe the extension site, the extension store may have some, and they may have some out at the Arboretum. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I know Amazon has them.
I know the Arboretum appreciates all this rain, too. Oh,
yes.
My.
It's been so dry out there, and they've had to decide what they can take care of and what they can't. So you may see some areas that don't look their best, but they're doing the best they can. I mean, their people are watering, but they only have so many people and so many hours in the day, so they're doing what they can out there. But again, I believe you do need to make an appointment, go out to the Arboretum, see the beautiful grasses, see what's going on. Now might be a really good time to go out there and say, let me see what handled this drought this year. I know they're watering, but let me see, how did those trees handle this drought? Is that a tree I may want to consider in my yard? Because we're going to have extreme weather conditions. This is just going to be our pattern. We're just going to have to figure out what works and what doesn't. Same with the vegetables you planted this year. What veggies are doing well? Keep track of those. You may want to use those again next year. If your favorite didn't do very well, figure out, is it not going to do well in the same conditions, or was there something different this year that you didn't do that you could have helped it along?
Yeah, get to the Arboretum, though. It's just a great place to visit. Not only do you get some ideas, or if you're thinking of planting a certain shrub or tree, there it is, right there.
There it is. Yeah. And even just getting some nice eye candy. Go to the home garden area, the home display garden. You will see gardening ideas that make vegetables look like art. It's just beautiful.
All right. Just head out west on 5 and 41. You'll see it off to the left there. All right, Chris, we have to take a break.
Okay.
We will be looking at that forecast to see if we're going to get any more rain. And then we have about another half hour of the show to go. It's called Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO around every Saturday and then in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota answering your questions. We always, as you know, Mary, like to talk about and urge folks to get to the Arboretum. You talk about a great resource. What's going on these days at the Arboretum, Mary?
Yes, there are lots of things going on at the Arboretum, Denny. We have a new trail that opened for people to walk. There's free yoga at the Arboretum. So many days there's yoga lessons. If you have admission, or members, of course, are free admission at the Arboretum. There are lots of things blooming in the prairie now, and the annual garden is really at its peak. Many of the roses are blooming. There are art exhibits in the building. The Oswald Visitor Center is open with the art exhibits, as well as the restaurant is open now Wednesday through Sunday. You do need to make a reservation to get to the Arboretum. If members are free, otherwise it's $15 for adults. But they're opening all day today, all day tomorrow, virtually every day in the next 2 weeks. You'll have no problem visiting the Arboretum. So lots to see there, and many plant recommendations. All the hydrangeas are just about at their peak blooming now as well. So if you're thinking about buying a new plant, it's great to find that plant at Arboretum. There's an online app that you can search and find any plant and figure out right where it is at the Arboretum.
Oh, you're going to love it there. Great resource, the Arboretum. All right, Mary, we have callers. We have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out today. Tom is calling in from Hinckley, Minnesota this morning. Tom, you're on with Mary.
Hi there, Mary. I've got a 8 to 10 year old horseradish patch, and I just dig it for friends. Once in a while, they come over if they want some. It's hot, and I bought the host plant from a master gardener up here. And I said, you can't kill it, which the children tried by mowing it over a few times, but no, you cannot kill it. And I just wonder what's the best time, because everyone has a different opinion on when's the best time to dig it without hurting the plant and how to put it back together once it's dug a little bit.
Well, because horseradish has such a big root, and of course it's the root that we eat and grate for culinary purposes, if you said it's hard to kill it, you normally have a horseradish plant for your whole life and then for the next generation even. So I think in the springtime, if there was one time I would say when you could start digging it or moving it, would be first thing in the springtime. As it gets later in the season, it has more issues, but it's a very tough plant. So you can do it almost any time, but if I had to pick one, I'd say the spring.
Okay. This listener wants to know, can partially dead branches on a large magnolia shrub be trimmed now or wait?
Yes, you can do that on a magnolia now. You can for most plants, you can prune off something if it's totally dead pretty much any time of the year. The only plants I would not recommend doing that with are the oaks because of the oak wilt disease and the transmission issues with that. But you could do that now on a magnolia, yes.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Pete is calling in this morning from Elko, I believe. Pete, you're on CCO with Mary.
Hey, good morning, Mary. Quick question for you on lilacs. I live out in the country on a farm here. I planted common lilacs probably 50 years ago and beautiful for all these years. 2 years ago, they started kind of curling, getting yellow on me, and I trimmed those out. Last year, they finally got so bad that I cut them down to the ground, everything. This spring, they came out beautifully, and now all of a sudden I'm noticing just a little bit, one by one, they're starting to do that same thing, to curl up and get yellow. The information I looked up, it looks like it's some kind of a blight, but I don't know what to do with it now.
Pete, I'm glad you called to ask about this because, yes, last year we did see dieback with lilacs, which was very unusual. It was diagnosed as leaf spot diseases. We rarely see problems like this on our lilacs, but I think this is just a cumulative stress of environmental conditions and perhaps drought for now an indefinite amount of time. And also the hotter weather conditions. Lilacs are a plant that do prefer cooler conditions. We can grow lilacs in the north, but you never see them in the south. And that is because they like cooler weather conditions and survive better in cool conditions. Rejuvenation technique. You're cutting back the what some people call this, chainsaw pruning method. Cutting that back was a good idea. Many times we do that at the Arboretum in rejuvenating old lilac hedges. And so that is a good thing to do in this type of situation. You get rid of any of the disease material that was there, clean the whole thing up, and let the lilacs come back from the roots. So that was a good thing. At this point, I don't know what to tell you to do other than use additional water, if possible, on these plants to help them get through, especially the hot, drier conditions. You want to be aware of not watering the foliage, just watering the roots and keeping the plants foliage dry and improving any air circulation that you can. So if they're in a tight, you might take out some of the middle ones or something so the air circulation is better around it. But at this point, I would say watering them and watching closely the foliage. And any that is totally dead, removing that and cleaning up the leaves in the fall of the year.
Okay. This listener, Mary, is having trouble with a calla lily. Said, I let it go dormant in the winter. This spring added water and fertilizer, got one flower and nice leaves. The plant is very leafy, and we have had limited flowers. Ratio is far more leaves than flowers. What do you think we can do?
I would try using some fertilizer that has a lower nitrogen to phosphorus and potassium ratio. So that first number on the fertilizer should be low. The other two numbers should be higher. And hopefully that will help induce the blooms. And then I give it quite a bit of light, as much light as you can. Calla lilies don't have to have full sun when they're outside, but good light conditions. And hopefully with the fertilizer, then you'll get some more blooms.
Okay. Let's get another phone call. This time, Phil is calling in from Waverly, Minnesota. Phil, you're on CCO with Mary.
I got a problem. I had a bittersweet vine that was growing all the way to the top of my telephone pole and was getting in a transformer, so I tore it out. And now I get suckers. How do you control them suckers coming up from the roots?
Well, the easiest way is, Phil, is just to keep cutting them off. I know that's kind of a pain in the neck, but that is still the best way to do it. There are some herbicides that you can buy that you can paint on or spray on the cuts where you actually cut the stem. You put the herbicide there, and that will prevent it from sprouting. Garland and so on, those are high-intensity herbicides. Many of them will kill everything that they touch. Roundup, glyphosate is the same thing. So the strong herbicides will kill it if you put that on the cut tissue. You just want to read the label carefully and follow the directions on that. But a couple years of cutting off those suckers, and then they'll stop.
Okay. This listener wants to know, will Annabelle hydrangea or coneflowers grow in the shade or filtered sun?
Annabelle hydrangea or coneflowers in shade? Well, they would rather have sun. If you have less than 6 hours of sun a day, that's going to be tough. I would urge you to think of some other plants. We have many plants that do tolerate shadier conditions, azaleas, the yews, and then for flowers, there are tons of flowers that will grow in shadier conditions. But, you know, you can always try it. The plants will live there, but whether or not they'll flower, that's the question.
Okay. This listener says, we have tomato plants and peppers in two separate raised beds, new soil this year. They are getting lots of fruit, but some have bottom rot. We have added some eggshells to the peppers, and on tomatoes we added some lime and just added some powdered milk last night. We've been pulling off the ones with rot. Are we doing things right?
Well, that rot on the bottom, that blossom end rot, is very common with tomatoes, less so with peppers, but we do see it. What that is from is extreme water availability in the soil. So a lot of water versus no water, a lot of water, no water. That imbalance back and forth shows up as the end of the fruit not fully developing. So you want to try to water deeply and not so frequently. So when you put the water on, leave it on until you have put on an inch or time it so that you know you're getting a good deep amount of water in there. And you don't have to do that every day, but if you do it every in a raised bed, you probably need to do it like twice a week.
Okay.
So water deeply, not necessarily so often.
While we're on the subject of watering, this listener says, does the temperature of the water matter when giving potted plants a drink in the mornings? And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, getting the help of Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. And Teresa, boy, your work is cut out for you today.
Excellent. I'll try to be short and sweet.
Well, you just be what you...
That might not work, but we'll give it a shot.
All right, good deal. Here's one that says, I have a Shasta daisy that blooms beautifully. I deadhead it, but never gets another bud. What could be wrong?
Nothing. That's just how it goes. It's a one-timer.
It is. Uh-huh. This texture has a peony that has powdery mildew on it. Says, I purchased neem oil spray, but I don't know much and how often to apply it. Thank you for your time and help.
definitely go to the website to handle that. I'm not sure how effective neem is with the powdery mildew. You can just also use like the free water. Just water the leaves, and if they dry really quickly, they may not become infected again with powdery mildew.
Okay. My shade ferns are all brown and dry. I have a lot of ferns. Can I mow them down? Thank you.
Dry is dead. They're dead. Go ahead, mow them down. And just keep watering the area because hopefully the roots and the crowns are still fine.
Okay. This text says one of our 12 linden trees is losing its leaves and other leaves are turning yellow. Another one started to look stressed. Why is this happening?
It's probably drought. Maybe that plant a little bit more than the others. It may be in a slightly drier or more exposed area. So give it a little extra water if you possibly can, and just treat it with a little extra TLC. Don't do any pruning. Don't do any fertilizing on it.
It's a lawn question here. It says, we had our lawn reseeded by a company, and the grass did not take the drought well. It became very straw-like. What do we do to get rid of this poor quality grass? Reseed, or do we need to dig it up and start from scratch?
I would check with the company, see what kind of service and guarantee they provide. It could be that it's out of warranty, so to speak. In that case, definitely go to the Lawn and Garden website, the extension website. It will give you some criteria to look at to figure out whether you can wait for it to come back, if you should reseed or if you should resod or what you want to do. It really gives you some ideas to think about so you can make an informed decision what works best for you and your situation and your lawn.
This listener manages a small townhome development and wants to know if you advise to let the grass go dormant or should we keep watering?
You can let it go dormant. You want to keep people off of it if possible. However, you don't want to stop the watering, especially if it's a Kentucky bluegrass. You do want to keep watering. Some of the Kentucky bluegrass just doesn't handle the heat and the drought that well. It can take a little bit of dormancy, a little bit of stress. But if it's an area that's walked on a lot by your people, by the people that live there or played on by the kids, definitely keep watering it. It's probably cheaper in the long run to do that than to have to replace it.
Another peony question. Why do some peony plants have milky leaves?
I'm thinking that when you break them, they have milky leaves, and I don't know why they would do that. I would guess that's just the way they have a heavier, milkier sap. I've never noticed that.
Okay. This listener has an assortment of pine trees on their property, including what they call scrub pines. Can I cut branches off these trees for my winter theme pots without causing damage to the trees? Guessing not, but will the branches grow back?
If they're the Scots pine, you can cut the branches off. Pines don't normally resprout, however. So do strategic pruning on those and maybe take off the ones that are low, that are bothering you, the ones that are maybe going in the wrong direction. If they're really heavy in one area, you want to lighten it up, you can do that. But pines do not normally resprout. And they don't have growing points that get activated and come back. So wherever you cut, that's what it's going to look like. It's not going to sprout new stuff there.
Okay. Let's see. This listener started a new raspberry patch in the new location. And after a two-year break of destroying the old patch in order to break the insect cycle of the spotted wing, whatever
Priscilla,
you call it.
Yeah.
Yes. It did not work. Mm-hmm. The new plants are bearing fruit, and they have the larvae in the berry. I have tried all recommendations to get rid of this pest, but obviously isn't working. Any ideas?
You know, we're really fighting this pest. The university is doing a lot of research on it. Some of the best things to do are make sure you keep cleaning up the fruit. You want spick and span sanitation. I don't mean use spick and span. You want really clean sanitation. You want to make sure that fruit is not staying on the vine. It is, or on the canes. It is not dropping to the soil. Maybe let the birds eat them, and hopefully the birds can take all the larvae out there for you and break the cycle. That's a possibility too. You can also try, as soon as they're fertilized, to cover them with a floating row cover and see if that prevents the eggs being laid. But we are working on, or the university is working on, a lot of issues, and this is a big problem for our small fruits.
Okay.
You're not alone.
This listener, Teresa, has two different types of pears in my yard on opposite sides. The one is doing great. The other one has pear scab. We've been trying to get rid of the pear scab, but no luck. So we're planning to cut it down soon to try to save the other tree. Will the good one be okay without the other tree for pollination?
Probably not. Most pears do need another pear for pollination. So I would suggest if your neighbor does not have one and then there's not one within, say, 2 or 3 yards, plant another small pear that could be used as a pollinator.
Does the excessive heat, this listener wants to know, slow the ripening of tomatoes?
Yes, it does.
Does it really?
That's a really good question. You'd think they'd ripen faster.
Yeah.
But no. I was reading the article this morning, actually, on the website. And the tomatoes ripen in two ways. The first is the green. They get green, and then all the stuff around the seeds get kind of gelatinous, and that's the green ripening. That's when you can eat green tomatoes. Then it has to go into another process where it actually promotes the red chemicals in there, and those red chemicals need it cooler in the evening. So if it stays too hot in the evening, they just don't ripen. We just have to wait.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a really interesting article.
This listener, Teresa, has new rhubarb plants. Should I plant them now or wait till fall?
You know, you can plant them now. Sometimes it depends. If you're able to take care of them in containers very well, go ahead and do that. If it's easier for you to take care of them in the ground, go ahead and do that. Whatever is easier for you to take care of, because you are going to have to treat them special, give them extra water, take care of them a little more carefully until the winter comes. And then this winter, I'd probably just mulch them a little bit, and then next year they'll be fine.
Now, let's see. We've got a couple of minutes to go, Teresa. Here's another one. Our 30-year-old plum trees have stopped producing plums. Help, please.
Well, there could be a number of reasons. They could need some judicious pruning. If they're looking healthy, they probably haven't reached the end of their lives. However, fruit trees do have a shorter lifespan than other trees usually. Could be just that they're not getting pollinated. So you have to figure out why they aren't fruiting. Are they just old and they're looking decrepit and you need to take them down? Or is something happening with the pollinators? Have you lost your pollinators? Is it been too hot? Have the flowers frozen in the spring so they can't get pollinated? Have you lost the trees that were pollinating? So those are some ideas to think about.
This one here says, is common purslane a good weed control option for my vegetable garden?
Common purslane is often considered as a weed. It may crowd out some of the other weeds. It's also very edible. It's really high in omega fatty acids. It's really good. It's a really wonderful plant. Many people do consider it as a weed, though. So you just want to make sure you keep it under control and don't let it take over your vegetable garden where you want your vegetables. But you can use it as kind of a green mulch if you want to.
Okay. We have to mention, we want to mention the U of M's Extension website. And a texter wants to know, I know we have a minute to go here, anything on aquatic plants? I haven't looked in that.
There is area. Some things on aquatic. There are some things on aquatic plants. We also have a wonderful Minnesota Water Garden Society that you can get a hold of. They help. They do a lot of wonderful aquatic plants. But we do have some information on aquatics on the extension.umn.edu website. Or go out to the Arboretum, see what they've got out there. And you can also go to the Arboretum website and buy tickets for the Hennepin County Master Gardener Garden Tour.
When is that now?
That, you know, I printed off the note and left it at home. So I was
well,
really
they'll be able to find it on the website.
But it's on the website, and it's a virtual tour. So I think you can take it then at your leisure, so you don't have to go on a specific day. But we will also have little blurbs in there about best watering practices. Take care
Very
of this,
good.
Take care of that. So, yeah.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank
Always
you,
a pleasure.
It was
Hope
wonderful
to talk to you
talk
real
to you
soon. Thank you. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lindis will be answering those very questions via text next hour. Showers and possibly a thunderstorm yet to happen here. More of them here in the Twin Cities, maybe even overnight, and even a chance tomorrow for that matter, and maybe even Sunday night. Much needed rain. Just ahead of CBS News, let's see, what do we have? Winds east at 9. 96 the humidity, 67 dew point, it's 68 degrees.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.